Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Rolling on, Raiders Road Rally in Henderson, East Lake Mead, 1442 East Lake Mead. Come on out, get all set up, get your seat, get your spot. Raider reps are going to be here. Former Raider Jalen Richard will be on the scene as well. Coors Light specials, Miller Light specials. We're talking $2 beers, $10 pitchers, great food items, $10 menu items like the chicken quesadilla, loaded fries, stuffed meatballs, sliders, Philly egg rolls, mini corn links. There's like 40 other things on the regular menu as well. So they're all loaded up. And got great prizes that'll be given out by Ari from Raider Nation Radio 920. Now, want to remind you that it was a very dramatic setup here. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. I didn't have a good segue. Battleborn, of course, in Southern Nevada with four offices, also an office in Northern Nevada. 766-1400, the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. If you're in the north, you got to dial 775-766-1400. Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Jeff Carls. Mitchell on the scene as well, doing the setup. James back in our Finley Toyota studios. Was there some goaltender chicanery? That's a good word. With Alex Ovechkin and a milestone puck.
So Ovi last night scored his 900th career goal in the NHL. He's obviously the only one to ever reach 900. And Jordan Binnington put the puck in his pants after the goal. Right in the pants.
Joke, or was he like, I'm going to cash in?
Well, look, Michael Cormier, who was the linesman in that game last night, was seen during the next break having a discussion with Binnington in the crease, and Binnington legitimately took the puck out of his back pocket and gave it to the linesman. Binnington now claims, here's what he said. Here's what he said this afternoon in Buffalo. Blues are in Buffalo today. Yeah, I figured I basically had an assist on the goal. They're turning the puck over. Didn't think he'd mind sharing it, Binnington joked after the Blues practice on Thursday. Quote, I had the full intention to give it back to him. All right, sure. But I was in Missouri. I know a lot of people in St. Louis media. I got a few texts from people in Missouri media yesterday who will say they were not overly shocked by this.
Why is that? What's the dope on Binnington?
Not to use a joke,
or kind of a slime ball.
I don't want to go too hard on that one, but he's a little bit crusty. Let's just go with that.
Well, that's a good word.
He's a little bit crusty.
Who else do you know that's crusty? Am I crusty?
No, not quite.
Are you sure it's crusty or untrustworthy?
I don't know, because like
Shifty.
Like,
I like Shifty. I think Shifty could be a flim-flam artist.
I don't know.
I don't know what we're saying anymore. We're just using a weird term.
We're just using words here at this point. But no, crusty I usually reserve for people older than Jordan Binnington, but that's kind of the adjective that I've heard. But look, in the end, Ovi got his puck back, and all was good in the world of Alexander Ovechkin now at 900 career goals.
I'll give you a good example of what could be crusty. And the gentleman left who was hanging out here, a guy had a meal earlier, and he appeared to be, I don't know, maybe like early 70s. And he got up and he did one of those, you ever do the kind of, you're going to hitch up your pants, but then you lift up your shirt, right? So he lifted up the shirt, like I'm lifting up mine right now, but I got an undershirt on, and then you hitch up your pants, and then he just sat there with the shirt up. And like, I could see that guy being crusty.
That's actually.
Like, my belly's out. I'm not gonna put my shirt down right now.
Or things were better X years ago, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
That's crusty. Back in my day.
Man, yeah, that's the best way to describe that.
Number three. Jeff Parles is a spoil sport. We're learning that. You just don't like stories. You don't like goodness. We're going to do a lot of holiday topics. I guarantee you don't like the holidays. You're a Grinch. You're an NFL Grinch. You send over today the NFL Grinch over here. Jeff Parles said, Kansas City and Baltimore are the only two teams on the outside in the AFC playoffs that I give a chance of taking over a spot. Come on, man. We want to be glued to the the final, you know, 8 games of the season. It's a wide open competition. It's never been crazier in the AFC to make the playoffs. But as you point out, when I looked, I was like, oh boy, boy, the bottom of the AFC. Ain't good.
So, Titans, totally finished. Jets, obviously, totally finished, especially after what they did 2 days ago. Miami, totally done. Cleveland, totally done. Raiders need a lot of help. Bengals, they need to find at least someone who can make a tackle on that defense. And then the only other one that I'd even consider would be the Texans, but they play Jacksonville this week with Davis Mills playing quarterback.
Do you not have confidence in the neck?
I do not, no. He played okay last week against Denver, but... You saw the end of that game. Denver punts with a little over a minute to go, and Houston goes 3 and out in about 12 seconds to give Denver the ball back. Kansas, it's weird saying Kansas City's on the outside looking in, but they are right now, and they don't have the tiebreaker on Jacksonville. Look, if the Chargers can hold up without Alton Slater, which I think is a heck of an ask at this point, we could end up with the same seven teams that are currently there right now getting into the postseason.
I mean, the Bengals are 3-6, and because of the division being less than stellar, they're only 2.5 games out of the division lead. They're 12-1 on the yes to make the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
You don't want to play it? 12-1 this late?
Make a tackle. Like, if they even had an...
Yeah, well, they have Logan. No, they don't.
If they even had just a bad defense, they would have won the last... Even with, again, the Chicago comeback was idiocy on the Bears' end, but, I mean, you're supposed to win that game once you score that last touchdown to go up by a point with less than 30 seconds to go.
If you want to play Thursday Night Football, a great way to do it is sign up for a new William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports account. You can earn up to a $250 bonus bet after placing your first qualifying wager. Then you can bet on the go, like places... like this one, Second Chances Tavern out on Eastlake Mead in Henderson. You can bet anywhere on the iPhone, the iPad, or Android, and they've got same-game parlays, deep, deep, deep wagering menu, early cash outs, great odds boost on the parlays, live in-play wagering. For more information, visit williamhill.us. Number two. Okay, and now there's the MVP race, which if we go by the William Hill odds, you're not happy with the favorite.
I don't think Josh Allen should be the favorite. I don't think so. I think Patrick Mahomes has been better than him this year. I think Matthew Stafford's been better than him. I think Sam Darnold's been better than him. Drake may beat him heads up earlier this year. I don't want to go too crazy with that result, but he did. And Baker Mayfield is carrying the walking wounded right now in Tampa Bay to a first place, to a 6-2, tied for the best record in the NFC. Josh Allen is a great player. He's a top three player in this league, probably top two at this point. But he has not been the best player in this league through the first half of the season. He should not be the betting favorite. If Kansas City was in the playoffs right now, I would say Mahomes should be the favorite, but that's why he's second. But Matthew Stafford, why do we always forget about Matthew Stafford? Why do we always forget about him? He is, when he is on the field, he is as consistent as anyone. The Rams are really darn good again. I know he has elite wide receivers in Nacua and Adams, but Puka's been banged up the last few weeks. If they win what I think is the best division in football and somehow end up with a top two seed in the NFC, and especially if they end up as the top seed in the NFC, Matthew Stafford should win the award. I don't know if the voters will respect him enough. Clearly, the betting markets don't respect him enough right now. So, right now, Josh Allen would be fifth on my list. I'd have him in between Darnold. I'd have him between Darnold and Mayfield right now. I'm the same odds as Baker.
I don't think Matt Stafford can continue on the pace he's on. But what if he did finish the season and we're a little? Well, they're 6-2, right? So they still have 9 games left.
Yep.
Let's just double it, right?
Sure.
I'm not good at math with the extra whatever, 54% of the season left. What if he finished with 42 touchdowns passing and 4 interceptions? Do you think that would wake people up?
It should.
The funny thing is that's about what Lamar Jackson did last year, and people found a way to, like, we're kind of bored of Lamar, so let's not vote for him.
Right, but they wouldn't be bored with Stafford if he did. He's never won the MVP. I mean, those are Aaron Rodgers' 2 MVP seasons post-COVID, basically.
So we're looking for stories, then Sammy D is a good story. Now, you could have gotten him at a lot better number.
Sure,
now he's 14-1. This is probably your last chance to get him at this level. Do you want some Darnold stock? Is that a good enough story?
I don't think he wins the MVP. I think when it's all said and done, I think he actually gets hurt by the fact of how good his defense is. And also, too, Jackson Smith and Jigba is getting a lot of noise right now of Offensive Player of the Year, which I know he can't win it without Sam. I understand that.
Right.
But that's not how the vote. Again, this is what's hard about handicapping awards. We have to handicap what the voters are going to do. I don't think Darnold can win the MVP. I would look, as you mentioned it earlier in the week, even though those jet wounds are still there for both of us with Sam, I always loved him. I thought that the Jets were at fault for him blowing up like he did in New York, and now we're seeing with real coaching back-to-back years him being a top-10 quarterback.
Looking at the Seahawks the rest of the way, because obviously they're going to have to put up a stellar record as well.
Sure.
MVP of an 11-win team ain't going to cut it.
Nope.
They got to win like 14 games, 13 games.
I don't think
they got
going
the Rams
to.
Twice. Ooh. They get the Colts coming there. At Titans, easy mark. At Falcons, kind of easy. Vikings there. At Panthers, at Niners. I mean, they could probably 12 wins?
12 is probably the most. Is that enough to win the NFC West? Is that enough? I think they're going to lose to the Rams in 2 weeks when they play each other in L.A. I don't know if 12 is enough. Crazy. 12 and 5 might not be good enough to win the NFC West. 14 wasn't good enough for them to win the North last year.
And I can't get anyone to buy in Colt stock, but in Johnny Taylor. I mean, if he scores 25 touchdowns this year.
2 weeks ago, I was banging the drum pretty hard on JT. I'm just concerned now that the blueprint is out there. Take him out of the game and make Daniel Jones beat you. And that's what he couldn't do. And Jones was a turnover machine last week in Pittsburgh. And it's not like that Steeler defense had played well at all this year.
Niners continue to win. Purdy eventually comes back. Niners post 12 or 13 wins. I can't bet 150-1 on Chris McCaffrey.
Oh, boy.
You want to talk about the definition of an MVP. They've had no one on offense while Purdy and everyone else has been down. Finally, Kittle came back. He has carried them.
There is – so in that scenario, if they would do that, Christian McCaffrey's your comeback player of the year. There's not even a hesitation right now. And Kyle Shanahan might end up beating Shane Steichen for coach of the year in that scenario. And Mike Vrabel. So that would be my concern there. Boy, 150-1 with pizza money, that there are worse bets to be made at that sort of number, to say the very least.
Top story.
Number one.
I only left you like a minute for this. I don't want to chastise you, but you're not smart. You should have gotten out from under this a while ago. I did. I had enough. Paramount and YouTube TV were battling like 6 months ago. I gave it a day, and I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I got out. You're still involved, and yeah. I know a lot of people are involved in this ESPN YouTube mess. It's not a bad place to hang out. You had to hang out at Ellis Island. I was like, Jeff, go home. And he's like, I don't have TV. I got to watch it here. Well, are you just going to go out every night? I guess you're staying tonight. I know availability is different. It's a different package.
Look, the Saturdays is really the bigger issue. I have access to a stream, but it's not good. The ESPN app is just not good enough right now. That's the biggest issue.
Also, how is that possible?
I don't know.
This would almost seem like a work as they've introduced a new app that, hey, you know what? Go to the app. You're set. And then the app's not working?
It was horrible for me this week. Horrible. God. Horrible. Horrible.
KWWN 1100. I'm not going to say ESPN. I mean, they got to get this together.
Just get it done. And also, too, I'm locked in with YouTube because I have Sunday Ticket. I lose Sunday Ticket if I cancel YouTube TV.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And all you guys bought the Sunday Ticket. They tried to auto-renew me. They're sending me, 204 the rest of the season. Nope. Let me do that. I could do so many F you hand signs and click of the teeth. And I can't wrap them all into one quick package here, but this is abysmal for you poor saps out there. Get out while you can.
ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
On this show, I get kind of worked up. We're on ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. Jeff just got a little worked up. So we also like to bring in people who are kind of like baseline people. And there's no one more composed, professional, and calm than Chen Kelly from Nevada Sportsnet. So I'm going to see if I can get her worked up here. Shannon, how are you?
Oh, wow. Hi, guys. Hey, thank you for those kind words. Maybe I'm going to get fired up here.
It's basically a yes or no, and I think you will if it's a yes. We've been talking a lot about the YouTube versus ESPN battle. Are you a YouTube TV person?
Partially. Yes. I am. We do use my brother-in-law's YouTube TV account from time to time, but we do have Spectrum, so we have both.
Let's not say that on local airwaves that you're sharing accounts. I think you're still allowed to. Okay, so who gets more worked up, you or the new hubby?
He does, I would say. Probably. Yeah, I would say he does.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the funny thing in my house is that, my girlfriend's actually the one who gets more worked up, and she gets more worked up over sports. Like, if we can't get access to sports or, you get, some buffering, she's like, reset it! I'm like, all right, sorry, I can't control the internet, please.
That's my husband. That is my husband. I probably get more worked up about certain things, but yes, when it comes to, streaming and, buffering, he's like, just reset it. Just unplug the Wi-Fi, plug it back in. We'll just go to Spectrum, then we'll go back to YouTube TV. So
that's the worst part. And Jeff just told us, I don't know if you said on air or during the break, but he basically told his wife, I ain't going to be here on Saturday. So
pretty much, yeah.
So he's putting the marriage at risk. He's like, it's college football. Come on, you got to understand. It's my job.
Well, and it's crazy. I feel with the streaming stuff in today's world, I feel you can't access CBS Sports on this channel. You can't access ESPN on this. It's kind of getting out of hand. If you're going to get me fired up, it is kind of getting out of hand. So that's why we have both.
Calm down. We got to watch the CFL on
YouTube TV because it's always on CBS Sports. My husband's Canadian, so that's the only way we really can watch the CFL.
I will
start building on herself. Jeff, she was like, I'm going to take this calmly, and then it was like bullet point.
It is pretty amazing how streaming does aggravate us all in the end when it's supposed to make it easier. I mean, that's the real basis. Also, too, it just showing that I am compromising for staying out of the house as long as I probably will on Saturday. I will be watching my wife's tennis match at 8 a.m. on Saturday. So there we go.
God. Yeah, that's amazing.
Compromise.
That's awesome.
Compromise.
I love that.
That's a big one. All right, well, the word aggravating has definitely applied to what's happened with Wolfpack football. Bye week, Choate's still talking a pretty good game. He's still confident. What kind of chance do they have at Utah State catching 9.5?
Well, I think, if they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot and make some dumb mistakes, and if they can create the momentum, some momentum for themselves, out of the gates, then I think then they might have a chance. They're going up against a talented Utah State team sitting at 4-4, 2 wins away from bowl eligibility. So they're playing for a lot as well. They're going to be going up against a pretty good quarterback in Bryson Barnes. But I think if Nevada can, not shoot themselves in the foot, I think you look back to the Boise State game, which feels like eons ago, really. I mean, that thing was close through three quarters and the Broncos, one of the top teams in the league. So I think, it's going to be tough just given how the results have been, but Nevada's played some close games this year. Just a matter of, can they put together four quarters of a perfect game to try and come away with a win? That's the biggest question mark because we haven't seen that this season.
I saw on Nevada Sportsnet, you guys had a story about what Choate wants to see at a true freshman quarterback, Carter Jones. So what does he want to see?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Choate just wants to see him, playing with good decision-making, good footwork, getting the ball out there when the clock's ticking. I mean, he feels like commanding the huddle, playing with a great base. Those are just a couple of things he had mentioned. But, just can he continue to grow? Can he continue to take that next step? He said how coachable he is in practice and that he's very poised. So is this a guy that can continue to just keep growing week by week? I think, he's had some tough games. You look at the San Diego State game, the Boise State game, those are tough games, but, he played really well when he came in against Fresno State. He played pretty well at New Mexico with New Mexico too. So, can he just take that next step forward and just keep growing week to week? That's really one of the biggest things.
One of the stories we've been covering, and Shannon Kelly's with us from Nevada Sportsnet here on ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno, is sagging attendance or kind of less than stellar attendance at most Mountain West Conference spots. Now, the conference is going to split. They all, the disloyal five, as they call them, thought they were big, big ballers, but some of them are having massive attendance problems like San Diego State. Now, right now, the Pac aren't winning. Attendance is a bit down, but they are trying, right? I know there's a special coming up with, to get some kids in there. So they're trying to be a little more fan-friendly to get more fans out.
They are trying. Yeah, I thought this just came out today, which was pretty cool that kids get in for free at the San Jose State game with some, obviously, with an adult, purchased with an adult ticket. But, yeah, I think, you know, they're trying to find ways to get fans to come to Mackey Stadium, trying to get fans, you know, to find ways to come to football games. It's tough when you're not winning games. We saw at the beginning of the season, they've had some pretty cool promotions that were going on. They had their Beer Fest event that was back that drew some crowds, you know, on the Middle Tennessee game. That was a day game at Mackey. This game against San Jose State is another day game at Mackey. I think it's a rare day game, really, for this point in the season to have a 12:30 kickoff. But, yeah, I think it's tough when the attendance just isn't there. I think, you know, you got to give a lot of props to, you know, the marketing departments that are finding creative ways to get fans in the seats. And then, like you said, yeah, I did see that whole little snafu at San Diego State, how, the ticket sales haven't necessarily been where they hope. Maybe some saying the ticket prices are too high, and that's tough when you have a team that is winning. That's hard.
They were too high. They were out of control.
You're competing against a lot San Diego.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm not buying that, because, like, we could do the same thing, and it happens here. Like, oh, it's Vegas, you know. There's lots of other stuff to do. It's a football game. Go to the football game. San Diego, go to the football game. I understand there's skiing and the lake and everything. Like, in Reno, Tahoe, oh, there's, like, every place. Maybe not every place. Lots of places can say, hey, there's lots of other stuff to do. Come out to the games, but you do have to make it of value. And listen, at the snap, if San Diego State beats Hawaii, which I don't think they will, but they're going to be 8-1 with Boise and San Jose State. They have to get fans in there, and now they're offering $20 tickets. I'll tell you what, if they don't get, like, I don't know, like legit 25,000 in the snap or 30,000, that's a really bad sign. And you know what? For the disloyal five, up yours. Go to the Pac-12.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think especially for those last two games, if you have a team that is at 8-1 at that point, I mean, that's just, you know, what more can you ask for? Go out there and support the team. You only get 6 Saturdays a year to enjoy college football in your hometown. So get on out there.
Let's talk.
Get me all fired up.
See, again, yeah. Now you're yelling at fans. Yeah. Well, I mean, you see it. You see what's going on in Reno with Wolfpack football. Okay, basketball. Alford opens up the season with an easy win against La Tech. And there were some things that I was like, wait, who is this? What is this? One is Chuck Bailey, who just didn't look like a player last year. I know he had a good freshman year before he came to Nevada. And the other part of it was that press that I saw from Steve Alford, who admitted, like, I don't play player. I've never really played press.
Yeah, this is a different-looking Steve Alford team, to say the least. I think that was a little bit of a surprise, seeing that out of Coach Alford's squad. And then Chuck Bailey, the third. Yeah, he was on fire from three-point land on Tuesday night. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I was thinking, man, where has this been, you know, all of last year? But I mean, Chuck Bailey maybe just needed some time to get accustomed to playing under Coach Alford. This is a team that's playing at a much faster speed this season. And he even said in the offseason when he was at Evansville that they played at a much faster pace. So last year, he had to get used to playing at a slower pace. So I think that was pretty encouraging to see. Granted, it's one game, but hey, if he could be, you know, one of Nevada's go-to scorers night in and night out, I think that's a really good sign, because this is a guy who's been in the program for a little while, and you know, he's accustomed to Coach Alford and his coaching style, and so I think that was pretty encouraging to see, no doubt.
Shannon Kelly's with us from Nevada Sportsnet, ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. I saw that the Pac fans, some of them really enjoyed, I saw it on social media, the UNLV basketball loss to UT Martin. I also saw something that I'm really unclear on, and you need to fill us in. I saw one of your cohorts had asked Alford about flames in the pregame. The Thomas and Mac has flames. UNLV has flames. They don't have flames at Lawler, or do they now? What's going on here?
There are flames at Lawler. I witnessed it Monday night during the women's basketball season opener. I was not expecting it. I really didn't know what to expect, but yeah, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't think of UNLV and the Thomas and Mack Center when I saw it as well.
Of course you did, so, copycats.
I know. Yes, but it was cool. Got to give props to the marketing department, doing something different up here in Reno, doing a little different of a pregame intro, but yes, I did think of Thomas and Mac because that hasn't been a staple at the Thomas and Mac for a very long time.
We got 20 seconds left. Where are the Flames? Are they on the basket stanchion?
Yes, they're on
the basket. Are you doing the same thing?
Come on. On the basket, and there's four little pillars, per se, that they roll out onto the court. So it got toasty in there on Monday. Watch out, folks, if you're going out.
It gets hot. They have the fire marshal at Thomas and Mack, and they clear the baseline. So I'll tell you what, and we got to go. Mark Ziegler, it's always a very random reference to Mark Ziegler. He's going to flip out when there's Flames on the baseline, and he's sitting there, and he's going to be all hot. Because he's already mad you guys don't give out paper stats and that there are fans behind him. So I can only imagine how angry he's going to get. I don't know why I'm taking shots at other media members during your spot. Shannon, we appreciate it. You're great. Sorry we got you worked up.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, they're all paper stats at Lawler.
There you go. We'll see you.
On ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Back here, halfway point at Cofield and Company, ESPN Reno, ESPN Las Vegas. Jeff Parles is in Second Chances Tavern on East Lake Mead in Henderson. Raiders Road Rally, hosted by Raider Nation Radio, 920 and ESPN Las Vegas. Ari is going to be out here giving away the prizes, which include a Max Crosby jersey, an Ashton Gentry jersey, Brock Bowers jersey, some Oakley sunglasses, a Raiders game day pin set, a Charles Woodson women's jersey. Parle's eyes lit up, and then I mentioned the women's part. You're too big. Sorry, big fella. Fred Biletnikoff legacy jersey.
Nice.
I've always wanted Jets car mats, so I can just wipe my feet on the Jets. You can get, as one of the prizes here, at Second Chances Tavern, a Raiders vinyl car mat. How about that?
It's a lot of fun.
Art Shell jersey frame.
Oh, nice.
Hats, T-shirts, and one of the best prizes, game tickets to the Browns game. All here at Second Chances Tavern, but you got to be here for this Thursday night game. Make sure you're in the house before 7 o'clock. Ari's going to be on the scene from 5 until 7. And I got to tell you right now, between the 13 TVs that are all on the game in front of Jeff Parles, who doesn't have TV at home anymore. He just has to watch games on his phone.
It's all over. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm staying. Sorry, I'm not leaving. Sorry, Mitchell, you got to stay all night. between that and the menu, like I'll give you some of the specials, but what are you seeing on this menu at Second Chances Tavern?
Oh, I mean, look, when you say loaded fries are great to begin with, but then when you load it up with the cheese sauce and the bacon and the pico de gallo, and then you can add some brisket. I mean, that sounds pretty darn good to me, Cofield. So that caught my eye. The Philly egg rolls always, look, Philly cheesesteaks are awesome to begin with. Egg rolls are awesome. You merge them together, even better. And then these fellas in front of us at the table have the sliders, and boy, those sliders look really good. They also have a bucket of multiple buckets of beverages, so they're having a fun time tonight.
Man, it's Vegas and Henderson. I bet you the bucket's like $30. No, it's $10. It's $10 bucket today.
Very good.
$2 on the Coors Light and Miller Light drafts. By the way, they have a special platter. That's a great price with 5 gringo tacos. I got to look into that. I'm a gringo. 3 classic sliders, as Parles was just salivating over, and 6 fried mozzarella sticks. Who was I watching the other day? You know Chris Carlin, right?
Of course.
Who used to work on WFAN, and unfortunately now he's the Rutgers play-by-play guy, so I have to listen to him on radio. He was trying to do a whole, like, New Jersey mozzarella thing, but he was trying to pronounce it the way the people on the streets do, like the Italian-Americans, and he was doing, like, a mozzarella. I'm like, bro, just because you're chubby doesn't mean you have carte blanche to mispronounce
these food items. So it's with the prosciutto then, right?
That's good. I like that.
There we go.
Yeah. But he had no idea. I'm like, come on, you eat a lot. Get it down. I think he's walking around like Hoboken or something.
Good food scene there for sure.
It is a good food scene. I went to, just to give a shameless plug, one of the famous guys' places here. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you who Buddy is.
in less than 45 seconds, I just want to start this conversation.
Yeah.
It's a weird day today with, I guess not unexpected, but ESPN Bet is going bye-bye, and DK is coming in as the main odds provider for ESPN across all their TV and, I guess, radio platforms. But the weird thing is, and I'm not ripping, I'm certainly not in a position to rip anything at ESPN National, but it is going to be interesting that we're going to get a deluge now of DraftKings odds and DraftKings promotions on ESPN Las Vegas, and we don't have DraftKings or FanDuel here. There's nothing they can do about it. They're national spots, but
nothing you can really do on that for sure. By the way, it didn't help my DraftKings stock today.
Oh, is that right? Okay, we'll get it. I want it up. Man, your life sucks, man. We're gonna get into your Europe trip as well. You're here at Second Chances Tavern. You're gonna get some food. You're gonna get to watch the game on 13 TVs. Jalen Richard might have a nice conversation with you. Get on out here. Hang with Parles. So while I was hyping up the Raiders Road Rally here at Second Chances Tavern in Henderson, 1442 East Lake Mead, out by Lake Las Vegas. Beautiful spot. By the way, beautiful view when if that's important to you. They have an unreal patio, so you're going to be able to see that view. Along with, I said 12 TVs earlier, but there's also a TV wall behind me that has seven more, and then there's a giant screen and like three more TVs out on the patio. So we're talking, because I like to do this with all the locations, I count the TVs. We're talking 22-plus TVs for the Raiders Road Rally at Second Chances Tavern. Coming out, Jalen Richard's going to be on the scene, former Raider. Raiderettes. I'd like to see some Raiderettes. I hope they're here before I leave. I think they're going to be here. But Parles is never leaving because he has no TV at home and he wants food, and he might get a bucket of beer. Let's bring in Scott Seidenberg. Here we go with the Jersey Trio, as we do on Thursdays. Scotty, what's going on, buddy?
I mean, food and TVs and Raiderettes? What the heck am I doing right now?
By the way, maybe I overstepped there. Am I allowed to call you Scotty? You're like, bro.
You can call. Yeah, we're all friends here. It's all good.
All right. I don't want you to get irked at me. All right. Well, let's start with Thursday Night Football. What do you want to do here? I'm a little afraid to lay points in games, but I'm kind of a pansy. And the NFL, you can lay points now and win.
Yeah, this is just a terrible spot for the Raiders to be in, guys. Coming off the overtime and playing on a road on a Thursday night has historically been one of the worst situations for any teams to be in. Going back as far as the database goes, you play in overtime, and then you play on the road on a Thursday night. Those teams are just 5-15 straight up, 4-16 against the spread, only averaging 15.6 points per game. Meanwhile, their opponents averaging 25.9 points per game. And when you talk about the potential for the Broncos to score tonight, you have to keep in mind that this was a Raiders defense that was on the field for 77 plays and 43 minutes on Sunday. So what's the fatigue like? What's the energy going to be like tonight here at altitude going up against this Broncos team that, oh, by the way, with Bo Nix at quarterback as a home favorite in his career, undefeated, 10-0 straight up and 8-2 against the spread.
Scott, looking at Sunday, we got to start with the game of the week. Of course, the Browns and the Jets, as we all expected. It's so bad for the Jets right now. The Browns are road favorite with a rookie quarterback, 2-point favorites at New York.
Dead team walking. That's pretty much what we have here. The market agrees, Jeff. The Jets opened up as a 1.5-point favorite, and you mentioned it. We have the Browns now on the road as a 2-point favorite. I just wonder what the mentality is for these Jets players. Now, they're all professionals. They're all getting paid. They're all trying to do what's best for their careers. But when you have your star player in Breece Hall tweeting out a sad face emoji on the day of the trade deadline, when you give a player in Sauce Gardner a massive contract extension only to trade him a couple of months later, how confident is any player on this team in the future direction of this franchise? Now, yes, they got a ton of first-round picks, and that's exciting for whatever this team is going to look like next season, but I have some serious concerns about the mentality of the players that are currently there.
Scott, going to the NFC South, we haven't seen Carolina as a favorite much, but well worthy of a favorite here, up to 5.5 now against New Orleans and Charlotte.
Yeah, we haven't seen Tyler Shuck. Nice story, but again, this is the same thing kind of with the Jets. The Saints are trying to see what they have moving forward to next season. To me, this game is all about the Panthers' ability to run the football. When I do my weekly trench report, this was identified as one of the top rushing mismatches of this week, and that means Rico Two Pumps Dowdle could have a good game here against New Orleans. Hopefully no more Key and Peele fines for Rico here in this one. But I would expect Carolina to run all over the New Orleans Saints.
I like that nickname. Kind of along the lines of Rick Three Pumps Pitino. Oh! All right. Scott Seidenberg is with us from Better Day Podcast. I laugh at my own jokes. What a clown. You mentioned the trench report. People are like, what's the trench report? Well, you installed this, what, like 5 weeks ago. You said, you know what, in these contests, that's what I'm going with. Okay, let's go. How you doing?
Yeah, so the ATS numbers are not going to be as strong because this trench report is not going to identify teams versus the spread. It's going to identify how the offensive lines and the defensive lines match up against each other. And this whole experiment was see if I can identify an underrated aspect of handicapping these football games. Well, through 5 weeks, the top five overall mismatches in my trench report are 18-7 straight up with 6 outright underdog victories. And last week, this is the most interesting thing, I'm also pinpointing not just the biggest mismatches, but the closest games. So the games that I feel that teams are pretty even in the trenches, last week, those even games, the underdogs went 3-0 against the spread with 2 outright winners. So it's kind of an underrated aspect here of handicapping. The old quote, the game is won in the trenches, and we're seeing that play out. Now, I did mention Rico Dowdle is one of my rushing mismatches this week. The past 2 weeks, guys, the RB1s from my top five rushing mismatches are 9-1 to their rushing yardage over prop. Wow. So something that I'm going to be taking a look at here each and every week, identifying these mismatches.
Buffalo and Miami, what do you want to do?
I want to play James Cook over his rushing yardage prop. Or if he's banged up, which I know he has been this week, maybe take a look at the backup, Ray Davis. This is a game where Buffalo should dominate Miami. I've joked around with the Jets as a dead team walking. I mean, what's the mentality going like there at Hard Rock Stadium for Miami? The Bills should win this one handedly, and I do think that they have a nice rushing day against one of the league's worst rushing defenses. So if James Cook is playing and he's 100%, I'm going to fire up his props. If not, I'm going to take a look at the backup, Ray Davis.
I know you are bullish on the Patriots, but you got a different assignment here, Scott. Scott Seidenberg's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. Pats are getting 2.5 on the road in Tampa.
Yeah, it's one of those spots where you certainly like the teams that are coming off the bye. However, something that's really interesting is that home teams coming off the bye don't perform as well as road teams coming off the bye. And maybe it's the whole thing with, like, it's a business trip mentality when you go on the road. So, you know, the fact that the Bucs are coming off the bye here, but their home has me hesitant to lay any points here. I do feel comfortable with an over, though. I think Drake May is capable of putting up points. We certainly have seen what Baker Mayfield has done in this offense. The Bucs have been kind of cardiac kids the entire season with the come-from-behind victories and whatnot. So I actually think we see a high-scoring game down in Tampa. As long as the weather cooperates, I think we see a high-scoring game.
Let's go to Chicago. Bears, miraculous win after a miraculous choke last week. But they get the Giants. Giants obviously banged up 4.5 here with the Bears.
Yeah, this is one of those, again, the rushing mismatch to me is screaming the Chicago Bears. DeAndre Swift didn't play last week, and it was all about Kyle Manungai. I think both of them get a lot of run here against the New York Giants. The Giants grade out, guys, as one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL. And as much as in the offseason we talked about how great this front seven was and the pass rush and Abdul Carter and Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence, and it's going to be the Giants' defense is the reason why they're going to stay in games. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. They're not getting sacks. And as I mentioned, one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. It's a major concern. Also a major concern is the performance of the Bears defense. I like over the total here in this game. Jackson Dart puts up some points, and the Bears are able to run on the Giants.
Sunday night, Chargers now without both of their two top tackles the rest of the year. 2.5-point favorites at home against the Steelers.
Yeah, the threes are gone, which is, you know, that was the way to play it. As soon as this line was 3.5 earlier in the week, could have gotten the Steelers at the 3.5, could have gotten the Steelers at the 3. Steelers at 2.5 right now for me is an attractive teaser leg. You know, teasing them up from 2.5 to 8.5 on a 6-point teaser. Be price sensitive, though, because teaser prices, especially here in Vegas, have gone completely through the roof. The days of the minus 120 teasers are gone. So you have to look at, obviously, paying minus 130, 135 at some books on these 6-leg teasers. But this should be a close game. I think the Steelers are very capable of winning this one outright. I'm not going to sit here and say, I've played the Steelers at +3, because then I'm not going to be that guy that's going to brag about getting a better number. What I would do with this 2.5, though, now is I would certainly look to tease it up and find a dance partner for it.
Scott Sundberg, you hear him on VSIN, 1230 The Game, our sister station. He has the Better Day podcast. That's awesome. The Trench Report is killing it. Let's move on to college football. BYU at Texas Tech getting a boatload.
How many times am I going to bet against BYU and have them burn me? I guess this is going to be another time, guys, because I'm doing it. I'm laying the 10 here with Texas Tech, and my best bet in this game is actually going with the BYU team total under 20.5 points. Texas Tech is allowing just 10.4 points per game at home this season. Only one team has scored more than 20 points against them, and that was when Arizona State scored a touchdown with 30 seconds left in the game to give them their only loss, and they scored 26 points in that game. Tech is the number 4 defense in points per drive allowed. They're 4th in defensive havoc, so they're creating negative plays. Number 1 in adjusted EPA per play defense. This unit is incredible, and I'm going to back them at home here to limit the scoring of BYU.
Scott, I'm always interested in leaning on Vegas people who, you know, play every day, the crunch numbers, and I'm curious what you thought as a Vegas person of the first CFP rankings. Any big issues?
I always laugh. As somebody who does a lot of content, hosts radio shows, podcasts, and whatnot, it's certainly fun to debate the first, you know, iteration of the college football playoff rankings, but it's save your breath. Like, it's going to play out, right? Like, these teams are going to play each other. We literally have the game between BYU and Texas Tech coming up here, the number 7 versus number 8. It's going to play itself out. So don't drive yourself crazy with thinking this team is ranked ahead of this team and where are we going to put them when it's all said and done. The one takeaway that I have when looking at these college football playoff rankings, at least the initial version, is what is going to happen with the ACC and the Big 12? Which one of those conferences is going to get a second at-large bid? Now, both of them, we know the conference champion is going to get in, but which of those conferences is going to get a second team in? And then, of course, you know, listen, we're UNLV fans here. We're very interested in the Group of Five. Memphis right now is that highest-ranked Group of Five presumptive champion, even though they're not ranked in the initial college football playoff top 25 rankings. If the season ended today, they would represent the Group of Five as the 12 seed in the college football playoffs. So I'm fascinated to find out who's going to be that Group of Five representative as well.
So I thought one of the teams that got jobbed, and again, you get to play, so they're going to be able to move up if they win their games. Oregon, I think, is very underrated at number 9. They have max motivation to go into Iowa and kick the crap out of them, but I don't know that they can do it.
Can I tell you something? You say Oregon's got an opportunity to rise up the rankings with a win. We need to start talking about Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Iowa wins this game, Iowa's going to make the college football playoff, or at least they're going to be in the conversation, because they can. If they win this game against Oregon, then they have USC, Michigan State, and Nebraska. You win the rest of your games, Iowa's getting into the college football playoff. The concern that I have about Oregon here in this game is the weather. We could have winds up to 15 miles per hour, maybe 20 miles per hour. There's going to be rain, could be heavy rain at times. We saw Oregon struggle a couple of weeks ago against Wisconsin in the rain. I think going to Kinnick, a very tough place to play. I have concerns about Oregon in the rain here. One of my best bets is taking 6.5 points here with Iowa. A little bit of a sprinkle as well on the Iowa money line.
Scott, good job, buddy. We appreciate it. Hope you win tonight, and hope you have a big weekend, okay?
Anytime, guys. And by the way, it's pork roll, not Taylor Ham, okay?
No, now you're going to start an argument.
Why, you can't do that at the end of the segment.
Because he he does know where you're from, North Jersey.
Yeah.
I know. You guys have a problem up there with the Taylor Ham and the pork roll.
Oh, I have to call it pork roll out here because the one bagel shop I go to goes by pork roll out here. So,
it is kind of incredible that this pork roll, Taylor Ham from New Jersey, somehow you can get like a pork roll, egg, and cheese for like $6 maybe. I don't know what it is now in New Jersey, but it's like pork roll is literally like $27 a pound to get it across the country. And I love it. It ain't that much of a delicacy that I want to pay that much for it. Second Chances Tavern, Ari and Raider Nation Radio 920 on the scene. Come out and watch Thursday Night Football with the Raiders.